induction. All right, so this begins chapter 31 and 32. And there's two situations I want to bring up here. We can consider an ammeter, something that measures current, okay? And we can hook this thing up to a loop, all right? Now, this is just a meter. There's no resistors on this loop. There's no battery on it. There's no source of EMF. There's no capacitors. There's no charge. This is just a loop. It's just a piece of copper, okay? If I took a magnet, a ferromagnet, a normal bar magnet, okay? And if I move this back and forth in this loop, something very strange happens. This needle moves. This is very, very strange. I've got a magnet. I got no source of power here, no electric field, no current, no nothing. I move this magnet, and I get a current. The electrons start moving around in the copper. Another strange situation. Forget the magnet. Let's take a real electrical circuit that has a switch and a battery, and let's put a resistor on it just so we don't cause a fire. Now, in this circuit, no current is flowing. The switch is, it's an open circuit. When I close this circuit, what happens in this circuit? Current starts to flow. For a moment, on this loop, this needle will fluctuate, will shift. Again, this is this circuit. I got no battery here, no capacitor, no nothing, and the electrons start to move, and it's correlated with when I close the circuit and cause there to be an EMF on this circuit. Okay? What the heck is going on? This is called induction. And what it is that whether it's in this case, if a current starts to flow, okay, then we've already seen magnetic field lines get set up around this wire. So there is a period when I close this circuit, current will be at zero, and it will go to some value, and then it will stay there. And it's a very brief moment. And during that time, I have no magnetic field in the area bounded by this loop, and then I have a magnetic field, which is related to the final current that I have. But between those two moments, it's changing rapidly. And it's during that time that this needle moves. It doesn't move when I have a constant current and a constant magnetic field. Then I get no current here. Okay? I only get it when this current is changing, which means that when the magnetic field in this loop is changing. Same thing if I have the magnet. Okay? In the case of the magnet, if I move it away from the loop on the left, okay, the number of magnetic field lines that go through this left loop is smaller. If I move the magnet closer to this loop, the number of field lines that go through this left loop is larger. Okay? So I can, by moving the magnet, I can change the magnetic flux through this left loop. So in both cases, and that's the only time, if I leave the magnet here and still, I get nothing. I only get it if, whether by this situation or moving the magnet, I change the magnetic flux here. I need a delta phi B inside that loop on the left. And then the electrons start to move. And therefore, this needle moves. Okay? That's induction. And this is the subject of Faraday's law, which is the next of the four Maxwell's equations that are important in this class. Yes? This behavior has been codified into something called Faraday's law of induction. So one way to write this is that I can get an EMF. It's basically the math surrounding the words I was telling you on Tuesday and just now. If I get a change in time in a magnetic flux, then I can induce an EMF. Okay? So this is called Faraday's law. This is the third of the four Maxwell equations. So we talked earlier about Ampere's law. This is Faraday's law. Okay? There are four Maxwell equations that describe electromagnetism. And this is the third one. All right? We'll get to the fourth one later. it's telling you that the EMF, this is an electrical phenomena, is directly related to the time rate of change of a magnetic phenomena, the magnetic flux. Okay? Now, there's a couple things about this. First of all, this negative sign gets its own name, just for historical reasons. But this negative sign is actually called Lenz's law. All right? And what does it mean? What it means is that, so what this equation is saying is that the rate of change of a magnetic flux causes an EMF. So if I just had a static DC current in this coil and I had a static magnetic field, nothing would happen. I would do this and nothing would happen. It's the fact that the current is changing. It's like what I said on Tuesday, when I close the switch, momentarily I get a change in the needle, but then it goes down after the magnetic field is static. So Lenz, but the question is, an EMF implies a current. So what direction is the current going? In this loop, it can either, when looking at the top, it can go this way or this way. So what direction is it going to go? That's where Lenz's law comes in. What it's saying is that the EMF is induced in such a way to essentially inhibit the change in magnetic flux. Okay? So, if the magnetic field is changing in such a way that the flux is increasing through this surface, okay, I'm going to induce a current in here. But what do I know about when I have a current in a loop? Forget that I've created a magnetic field here. Let's say I have a current in this loop and forget why. What do I know about the magnetic field inside this loop? Not zero. It's non-zero, basically. A current in this loop creates a magnetic field in that area. Right? So we did this before where we could have a loop. I think the example that we did was a rectangular, but if we have a current going like this, all right, around the loop, we could use the Biot-Savart law, and we could say, well, it's dl cross r. So what we get is I got to do this right. dl cross r. So in this region, the magnetic field is into the board, and out here, it's out of the board. So I get this thing where the magnetic field lines loop around the wire. Okay? We talked about this earlier. All right? So if I've got a current in here, I get a magnetic field. What's happening is that when this magnetic field is changing from this coil, I'm producing, say, an increase in magnetic flux through this area. What Lenz's law is saying is that means, okay, I'm going to get a current here because I got an EMF in this thing. That current is going to go in such a way as to produce a magnetic flux of its own that goes in the opposite direction as the change in magnetic flux. So the sequence of steps is the following. I have this loop sitting here, okay? I create an increase in magnetic flux through this loop. A current gets set up in the loop, which causes a magnetic flux in the opposite direction so as to reduce the total flux through the loop. So if things are happening to increase the flux, Lenz's law says that I induce a current which will resist that increase in flux. Okay? So Lenz's law is tricky, but you got to keep track of it. And it's really one of the whole points about induction and what we'll call inductors. Okay? Okay. So now, we can actually, before I get to the next thing. So now we can take this this equation and we can write it out explicitly. So first of all, the EMF is equal to the path integral E dot dl. Okay, so this is the EMF. So that's the left side of that equation. Now I can write the right side of the equation, negative d dt. But now I'm going to write down what is the expression for magnetic flux. So we haven't talked about magnetic flux before yet, but it's the same basic idea as electric flux, meaning it's the field, the integral over a surface, of the field dotted into the area at every dA on that surface. Okay? So now this is not a closed surface. Okay? When we've been dealing with electric flux, usually we were dealing with closed surfaces. Well, we don't have to worry about that in magnetism in the sense that we don't have monopoles, so any closed surface will have a magnetic flux of zero, because there's never any magnetic charge interior to the surface. And in any case, this loop has a finite surface. It's not a closed surface. It's just a spherical patch. Okay? And I'm worried about the magnetic field flux that's going through that surface. So this is integrated through the closed. So let's say that, let's just take the, just schematically, all right? We're going to move this thing here, so we're getting some flux lines that are changing, delta phi b, okay? Let's call this circuit loop, let's call this C, okay? That's just the name of the loop. What this is telling me is that I integrate this path integral over the closed loop C. Okay? So I'm integrating over this whole path, this loop. Okay? This integral is over a surface. That surface is the surface bounded by the loop C. Okay? So what this is telling me is that when the magnetic flux here, and I integrate the flux over the whole surface C, the whole surface bounded by loop C, okay? When that flux changes, ddt, then I get a EMF, which can be expressed as I get an electric field in every little segment dl of the path in the loop C. And that causes the electrons to move around in that loop. And hence we get a current. And hence we get the light shows up, or the meter shows up. Okay? So this is the explicit form of Faraday's law, and it's fairly nasty. You've got a derivative of an integral, yuck, of a dot product. I mean, I don't even want to think about it. And then here, you've got your, you know, old integral of a dot product, okay? So obviously, in general, we try to come up with the ways of avoiding doing the math here if we can, but you do have to schematically understand what this is saying, okay? As we've tried to talk about in the class. All right, so okay, and the important thing about this is this now is explicit. I got an electric field here, and I got a magnetic field here. And there's an equal sign between them. So, okay, yeah, I've got all kinds of crap wrapped around them, DLs and integrals and derivatives and whatever, but essentially, we're already now seeing explicitly there is an equation between electric field and magnetic field. There's already a statement that these things are not the same thing, but they're very related. Okay? We already know you can get a magnetic field from an electric field. Now you can get an electric field from a magnetic field. Right? So the Biot-Savart law, Ampere's law, you can get a magnetic field from an electric field. If I have a current, that's evidence of an electric field. I can get from that a magnetic field. This is going in the opposite direction. If I got a magnetic field, I can get an electric field when it's changing. Okay? Now, okay, usually we don't deal with this explicitly, right? Usually we try to deal with that. We can, now this is if, so this is where we have the situation that I've described. We've got one loop, okay? Now, so I can get an EMF here, right? But I can use a simple trick, and I've essentially done it actually, because there's several windings of wire inside this insulator. I can actually increase the EMF that I induce, okay, by just having multiple windings. So if I have this, okay, and I was somehow able to pass my magnet through here, well, the change in flux that I would have gotten here, I get it n times. Because I've got a loop here that I get a change in flux, I get the same loop here, the same loop here, the same loop here, the same loop here. Okay? So if I have, you know, what did I draw? Five windings? Now I get this. Okay? Where in this case, the case I just drew, n equals 5. So it's a simple way for me to get 5 times the induced EMF from, it's the same current, the same amount of current that I've had all along in the wire. It's just I got windings, so I can multiply the flux change that I see. Okay? So this coil starts to be what we'll call an inductor. In fact, what I drew there is the symbol for an inductor. And we'll talk about what that means. So let's actually do an example. All right. So let's imagine that we have a square coil, this is looking at it from the side. And let's imagine that we have magnetic field lines going this way. So this is B. And there are going to be n turns. And so I want to have this magnetic field change. This is actually example 31.1. And the diameter here is going to be 0.18 meters. So let's say n is 200 turns. And what I start out with, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have this magnetic field, and somehow I'm going to start out with a value of no magnetic field, zero Tesla, and then I'm just going to turn it on at t equals 0.8 seconds, and I'm going to have a actual value. So at t equals 0, B is 0 Tesla. At t equals 0.8 seconds, B equals 0.5 Tesla. Okay? And actually, so I didn't say this right. It's changing slowly. It starts out at 0, and it ramps up to 0.5 Tesla. Okay? So what I do is, the simple way to go about this is to say, well, I want to calculate what my EMF is going to be. So the first thing, so we know that this is going to be negative N d phi b over dt. And so since this is such a, the change in the flux is very simple. It's just a linear change. I can change this to, in this case, negative N delta phi b over delta t. Okay? All right, well, delta phi b, I need to know phi b at t equals 0 equals b times a. It's b dot a, but the b field is in the same direction as the area. Right? Each of these loops has an area vector a that's also pointed downward. Okay? So B dot A ends up being BA. But what is the magnetic field at time equals 0? It's 0. So this is 0. I have no flux. Now I can do the same calculation, and I still have BA. And now I have a magnetic field of 0.5 Tesla, and I have an area which is, this is rectangular, so it's just going to be 0.18 meters squared. And if I calculate this out, what I end up with is 0.0162 Tesla meters squared. Okay? So this is the flux that I have at the end, and this is the flux I have in the beginning. So now I can use Faraday's law to figure out what the EMF will be. Okay? So, and let's just worry about the absolute value. But this is going to be 200, I'm just using Faraday's law over here, times 0.0162 Tesla meters squared. I'm running out of space. Minus 0 Tesla meters squared, because I had no flux, divided by delta t seconds. Okay? So again, this is negative N delta phi b over delta t. Okay? Well, except we don't care about the sign because we're just doing the absolute value. All right, so if I take all these, if I just multiply this all out, what I end up with is 4.1 Tesla meters squared per second, which equals 4.1 volts. Okay? So I will get an EMF across from top to bottom of this coil of 4.1 volts as a result of this change in magnetic field that I just did. Okay? Does anybody have a question? No? Okay. So, again, what we're doing is we're causing a change in the magnetic field, and that is causing an EMF. And so this is a way to calculate that. Okay, I will, since we're behind, I will do one more example. Let's consider a case in which we have a coil inside of a solenoid. And we've got a coil in here. Okay, so we've got a coil inside of a solenoid. This is my lousy drawing of my coil inside of a solenoid. And let's say that the diameter of this is 3 centimeters. Okay? And we have 200 turns per centimeter in the solenoid. The coil is 2 centimeters wide, and it has a total of 100 turns. Okay? Now, we won't get too worried about the solenoid. It has a current I in it, capital I. All right? But what we know is that, the first thing, what we know is that the I goes from plus 1.5 amps to negative 1.5 amps, okay, in 50 milliseconds, okay? Now, what we're going to have to do, we're going to want to know, of course, what is the EMF in the coil that's induced. So the first thing that we have to do here is we have to find out what is the magnetic flux changing in this region. Okay? So, all right. Well, the magnetic field from a solenoid is all uniform inside the solenoid. We've done this earlier. And so we could deal with this by saying that the magnetic flux, which is normally B dot dA, we could just say it as BA, okay? Now, B at time zero is, for a solenoid, mu naught N times I naught. Now, this is from previous discussion that we've had. Okay? And this is going to equal 4 pi times 10 to the minus 7 Tesla meters per amp times 200 over 0.01 meters times 1.5 amps. And if I multiply this all out, I get 38 millitesla. Okay? So this is the magnetic field at time equals zero when the current is plus 1.5 amps. I'm just using the expression for magnetic field from a solenoid, inside of a solenoid. Okay? Now the flux is B0A. So this equals 38 times 10 to the minus 3 Tesla times the area. Okay. Now the area here is going to be pi r squared. It's the cross-sectional area of the coil, not of the solenoid. The coil is the thing where we're going to induce an EMF. So we need to know what is the area covered by the coil so we can figure out the flux from the solenoid through the area covered by the coil. Okay? So if I I know what the radius of this coil is. I know pi, so I've calculated it. So the area of the coil is this 3.1 times 10 to the minus 4 meters squared. And if I multiply this all out, I get 12 microwebers for my magnetic flux. This is 12 times 10 to the minus 6 Tesla meters squared, okay? What I should have said, I should have done that first, a Tesla meter squared is 1 Weber. A Weber is a unit of magnetic flux. Okay? Okay, do people have any questions to this point? I'll use Faraday's law now, but please ask. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I would be shocked if this was obvious as I'm going through it right now. The area is this area here, the cross-sectional area of that coil. Okay? That's what this is. Okay. All right, fine. So we know the magnetic flux at time equals zero. Well, the problem is got a symmetry to it because the current at the end of the time is the same value, it's just negative. So we know that what's going to happen is we've got 12 microwebers going through the coil, and then it's going to switch to 12 microwebers going in the other way. So delta phi is going to be 12 microwebers minus negative 12. I mean, you can't, doesn't have a direction, but minus 12. So it's going to be 24 microwebers. Okay? So now I can, Now I can use Faraday's law. Because this is varying smoothly. I can use delta phi over delta t. I don't have to do an explicit derivative. And so if I plug the numbers in, I get negative 100, because this is now the number of turns in the coil, times 24 times 10 to the minus 6th Webers, divided by 5 times 10 to the minus 3 seconds. And if I multiply this all out, I get 48 millivolts. Okay? So what I've done, I've taken it all the way through. I've got a current in my solenoid. I change it. I've used, I've used my knowledge of Ampere's law from before, which gave me the relationship between the magnetic field in the solenoid to the current in the solenoid. I then used my definition of the magnetic flux to take the magnetic field and calculate what the magnetic flux is at the two different endpoints. And then I know how much the magnetic flux is changing through this coil, because I know its area also. And so I can calculate the EMF in this coil based on the magnetic flux I did and Faraday's law. We see now that I can produce an EMF. I can produce a current, basically, in this element based on this element. They're not touching. I could do that through induction. But there's another issue here that I want to go into, which is called motional EMF. So let's take a situation in which we have magnetic field going into the board. Okay. And let's have a conducting rod here moving in a direction to the right with a velocity v. Okay. And we've got B is into the board. Now, and let's say that the length of this rod is L. Now, we can go back to the Lorentz force law. What direction, so this rod is neutral at first, but of course it's a conductor, so the electrons can move. If I move this rod this way, those electrons are going to feel a force from F equals QV cross B. So what direction are the electrons going to move in that conductor? Are they going to go up or down? Okay, I guess I heard both, right? So most of you guys said up. It's actually, you got to be a little careful. This is Q, but electrons are negatively charged. So it's the opposite of what you think. Right? The force on a positive charge would be up. But the positive charges are protons. They can't move. Nuclei, they're stuck. But the electrons sure can move, so those guys are going to go down. So there's a negative sign on here once I put the charge in. So I've got V cross B. Yeah, that's what would happen if I had a proton. But I got an electron, so they go down. Okay? So all my electrons go down, want to go down here. All my protons want to go up here. All right, well, now what have I just done? I've got a bunch of electrons here and a bunch of, a positive charge at the top. I've just set up an electric field. There's an electric field between these two things. These protons are going to attract these electrons. Okay? So, and the same amount of charge that's here is the amount of charge that develops here. Okay? So, so the electric field that's created is, you know, from our Coulomb's law days, is F equals QE. All right? So pushing it through the magnetic field pushes the electrons down, but that creates an electric field, which then wants to pull the electrons back up. And so one of the things that we sometimes want to know is, you know, these things are conflicting with each other. There's an equilibrium condition that happens. And so what you do is you say, well, these two equal. And we want to know, under what case do we get a situation where they're equal and the charges stop moving? So since these are all perpendicular, this becomes QVB, and this is just QE. I can divide out the charge. And so this condition, VB, equals the electric field. This is the equilibrium condition. So I've induced an electric field by, you know, moving through my magnetic field. It's a little different case, because in the other cases, I'm not moving the current. I'm just changing the magnetic field. But here, I'm moving the wire, and it's causing the same thing. I'm inducing an electric field, and there is an equilibrium case that we can get to here. So let's first do a loop in a magnetic field. All right, so let's take what we were just doing and go a little further. So, yeah. All right, let's take this a little further. So let's take a rectangular loop. We've got our magnetic field into the board. And we're going to move this whole thing with a velocity in this direction. And again, this is L units wide, okay, and we have B in. So it's like what we had before, but now we have a loop. All right? Now, the thing about this is that what we just decided is that, okay, let's just consider this piece. When we do this, we're going to cause electrons to move in this wire, but now it's a loop. So we don't have to worry about the electric field changing. The electrons can just keep circulating. So what happens is I will get a current in the loop as I do this. Okay? Now, okay, there's a couple things here. First of all, if we think about Faraday's law, we have the EMF equals the derivative of the magnetic flux with respect to time. As I move this thing over, what's happening to the amount of magnetic flux through the area covered by this rectangle? As I move this rectangle here, it's going down. Okay? So that means I'm going to set up a current that's going to oppose that. It's going to want to slow down the decrease in the magnetic field. Okay? So that's one thing about Lenz's law. If I go through here, my d phi b, remember, this equals b times a. They're perpendicular, so I could get rid of the dot product. And so this actually equals negative d b times l, and then this x is the distance, is the x coordinate that I still have magnetic field lines. Past this, there's no magnetic field lines. So it's the horizontal part of the area that's covered by the magnetic field. So if I take the area covered by magnetic field is this area, it has an area of x times L, and so I can put this in. And B and L are constants. And what is dx dt? What is that? What is that velocity? So I've set up an EMF in this circuit with this value, minus BL times the velocity. And the current will be in such a way as to oppose the change in magnetic field. Okay? So in this case, the magnetic field is going down, right? So I actually need to resist that. I actually need the current to happen in such a way as to have the magnetic field going in the same direction as this magnetic field. Okay? So as I move this over, my magnetic field the flux lines that are pointed through this surface are into the board, but the number of those is going down as I move over. I want to slow their decrease down. So I want my induced EMF to produce more of those into the board lines. Okay? And so if I have a current going in this direction, I have I cross R, so in this region, I'm going to produce more lines going into the board to reduce the change that is happening because I'm moving this thing out of the field. Okay? So somebody back there had a question. No? Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Now, we can also think about this from the point of view of forces on the loop. And here, if I have, so here I can use in general, so for forces on the loop, I can use F equals IL cross B. Okay? So, and L is always in the direction of the current. So here, I have I, or L, cross B, So that's into the board. So here, my force, let's call this F1, this force is actually pointed that way. Okay? So if I take this loop and I try to pull it out of the magnetic field, what actually happens is I get a force that resists me, doesn't want me to pull it out of the field. Now here and here, I have I cross B. So here, I have an upward going force, and here I have a downward going force. Those two cancel. So the thing that happens is I've got this thing in a magnetic field. If I try to pull it, it resists me because I'm trying to change the magnetic flux that overlaps that surface. Anything that I do to try to change that is going to be resisted by induction. Okay? So you actually start to see a little bit that this, which is derived from the Lorentz force law, is related to Faraday's law, which is describing induction. They are related. We can calculate the strength of this force based on I L cross B. These are perpendicular, so this is ILB. We have ILB. Now we know this is a current, and we've got a wire. A wire is copper. It has a low resistance, but it does obey Ohm's law. So what we have here is the EMF over R. Okay? So we've already calculated the EMF. It's down here. Okay? We did that with Faraday's law. So we can complete the picture by just substituting in, and what we end up with is minus B squared L squared V over R. Okay? Now, you can ask what direction, and this L, we already did it, where we have our L cross R. The force has this value, so it's the B, it's the magnetic field squared, the length L squared times V over R, and it's going to be in the negative I direction, so the force is going to be in this direction.